from Illinois Public Media, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, October 18th. Coming up, we'll hear a conversation with Robin Staines about a new report from Advance Illinois. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Hundreds of students gathered outside JSM Living in Campustown yesterday. Illinois Student Newsroom's Alyssa Eaton reports some had gotten in line the night before in an effort to secure housing for next year.
By 7 a.m., the line went around the corner and down an alley near Wright and 6th. U of I sophomore Keith Stewart says it wasn't like this last year.
This is just a whole new level of crazy here. I mean, I think some people got here last night and that just started a whole chain reaction.
A JSM employee tried to organize the crowd.
Move back and stay in line. That crowd cannot come in the door.
By midday, U of I police told students to leave. Sophomore Sam Barbeau says he waited for over 12 hours and was unable to secure an apartment.
I feel pretty frustrated. Clearly something went wrong. It's very, very crowded right now, so I understand it is a public safety issue.
JSM employees told students they'll reopen another day to sign leases. I'm Alyssa Eaton, Illinois Student Newsroom.
JSM declined to comment on the matter. Some Cook County board members are hoping to allocate an extra $5 million to services for domestic violence victims. It would include funding for emergency housing placements, legal aid, and counseling. Cook County Commissioner Dennis Deere.
This is about advocacy. It is not a one-off. We continue to push the notion that we care about the citizens of Cook County, but even more so, we care about those who are experiencing domestic violence.
Deere says the county started a pilot program this year to keep certain domestic violence courts open 24/7 to help more people file for orders of protection, and he hopes the program will become permanent next fiscal year. The money is part of Cook County's $9 billion proposed budget. Illinois now requires every public elementary and high school to teach about Black, Asian American, and LGBTQ history. IPM's Emily Hayes reports on the state course that helps teachers do that.
250 teachers gathered over Zoom on Tuesday for I3. It stands for Inclusive Inquiry-Based Social Studies for Illinois. Asif Wilson is a professor at the University of Illinois and the leader of I3. He says it helps teachers listen to what students want to learn.
The primary outcome is students being in social studies classrooms where they can ask critical questions about their experiences in the world and have the freedom to do something about it, to explore those things really deeply, to act in ways that they feel are appropriate.
U of I runs the course for the Illinois State Board of Education. Teachers meet on Zoom every month for 5 months and complete assignments online in between. 500 teachers have completed the course so far. I'm Emily Hayes, IPM News.
Still to come, we'll hear a conversation with Robin Staines about a new report from Advance Illinois. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
A co-production of Real South and Independent Lens, A Town Called Victoria is a three-part docu-series examining the resiliency of a community after an act of arson at a Texas mosque. Friends of WILL receive exclusive early streaming access beginning October 14th. Learn how you can receive early access to the best of PBS with WILL Passport at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Is there a teacher shortage in Illinois? How many teachers left the field during the pandemic? Peter Medlin spoke with Robin Staines of Advance Illinois about a new report that set out to answer those questions and more.
People have been talking about teacher shortages for years. What does the data actually tell us?
So the data is actually a lot more encouraging than I think people would expect just from reading the headlines, which doesn't mean we're out of the woods. So I'm going to start with the good news and I'm going to end with the troubled waters that I think we still have to navigate. The good news is that we've actually been adding teachers, thousands of new positions, teaching positions, assistant principal positions, paraprofessional positions, et cetera. That's great. So Illinois now is one of the best states in the country in terms of its teacher-pupil ratio. Now, partly that's because we've been adding more teachers than the rest of the country, but also we've been losing students at a faster clip than the rest of the country. We've lowered class sizes significantly. The other good news is that we're doing a better job during the pandemic of keeping teachers.
Right, which has been, that was that big fear at the beginning of the pandemic especially, was that there was going to be a mass exodus of people leaving the field.
Absolutely. And that's, we saw the opposite. We actually saw that retention of teachers improved during COVID and retention of teachers within the same building improved. For now, we have outperformed the dire predictions by quite a lot and actually doing better than many other states. I will offer one other bit of good news that I think is, it's not as a direct COVID-related concern as it is just something generally I think people are watching, which is we both needed, and it's been a real effort on the part of the state to grow the teacher pipeline generally, more people coming into the profession, and then more people staying once they're there. But the other is that we need to diversify that pipeline, that there's a real strong mismatch between the diversity of the teaching force and our administrative workforce and our student population. We've been really doing a good job, and we've been outpacing the country. We've been outpacing the Midwest by quite a lot in terms of increasing the diversity of candidates coming into the profession. That said, the mismatch is huge, and we've still got a lot of work to do.
And you talked about how just over the last 5 years, we've added a lot more new teachers, administrators, folks into the class, paraprofessionals as well, I believe, too, right?
Yes, and the demand for paraprofessionals has just skyrocketed. And unfortunately, that's one of the areas of real concern, because the supply of paraprofessionals is dropping. So demand increasing, supply dropping, that is the area of biggest shortage by far in the state, but followed disturbingly and very persistently by shortages among special education teachers and bilingual teachers. And those are the two specialty areas that have long been a challenge. The state has been taking some targeted steps to try to get more special education teachers, to get more bilingual teachers into classrooms, but those are still the areas of significant shortage. So those are the three top ones that showed up here.
Is the growth in the teacher workforce consistent across different sorts of school districts?
Yeah, it's fascinating. No, it really is. Every district of all backgrounds and types, we're adding teaching positions. About half of the districts in the state have at least one vacancy, teacher vacancy. I think it might surprise your listeners that half of the states don't. Half of the districts don't have any vacancies. When you read about it, it seems so pervasive and so powerful that you assume it's affecting every district. I will add quickly, however, that even if you don't have an actual vacancy, that doesn't mean the shortage isn't affecting your district. And that the districts that are most likely to be affected are serving much higher numbers of students from low-income households, Black students, Latinx students, and bilingual students. Of the schools that have a 5% vacancy rate or above, you've got four times the number of Black students as white students. And keep in mind that a 5% vacancy rate is twice the state average. The state average vacancy rate, just to anchor us, is 2.6%, which is not terrible in the scheme of things, but it's not great either. Three times as many low-income students. 22% of the students in those schools are low-income versus 8% who are not low-income. So this is not playing out evenly. It is affecting everybody, but it is not affecting all students equally.
What's something about the teacher workforce and the report that you think is more important than people might realize?
The two things that I don't think come up as often is, in addition to the vacancies, we're seeing really low levels of teacher attendance. This has been a really difficult time. So I say that with zero criticism and a huge amount of empathy and respect for what teachers are going through, but we're not seeing that play out evenly either. And then the only other thing I'd add is it matters that our teachers be well prepared. This is a hard job, and I honestly think it's harder now than it's ever been. And we have, in a number of creative efforts to make sure that we don't have too many vacancies, we've really increased the short-term approvals and provisional licenses that are available to get teachers into classroom. And while it's still a relatively low level, only a couple percent of our teachers are on short-term approvals or provisional licenses, it's a huge uptick from what it's been. 16% of bilingual teachers are provisionally licensed or on short-term approvals, and that's just huge. And I don't know that we have organized ourselves to study the effect of that. Are these shortcuts that make sense? Are we cutting the right corners in the right way? Are we cutting the wrong corners in the wrong way? And are we going to pay a price for that in terms of what's available to our kids in classrooms? And I think we need to pay close attention to that.
That was Robin Staines, president of the Nonpartisan Education Policy Group Advance Illinois, talking with Peter Medlin about the group's new report. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will have increasingly cloudy skies, a high of 71 degrees, with south wind gusting to 30 miles per hour. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Alyssa Eaton, Mawa Iqbal, Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco, Emily Hayes, and Peter Medlin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.